We're going to be reading today from Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 11. Let's open our Bibles and begin reading in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, and read down through verse 11. Here the Bible says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today after so long a time, as it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." This is an exhortation and a warning. It's one of many in the book of Hebrews. It is a warning to Christians, Christians living then and Christians who are alive now. And it's especially a warning by way of example, the example of the Old Testament Israelites. Many of those Israelites failed to reach the promised land. And so this passage says to Christians, take heed and beware that you don't follow their mistake and come short of heaven. What caused these people, these Israelites, not to make it into the land of Canaan? It was unbelief. Hebrews 3 verse 19 says, So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That unbelief made them stubborn and hard-hearted. So beginning in verse 3 today, we continue to apply this warning to our time. So let's pick up in verse 3 where he says, For we which have believed, that is, he's talking about Christians now, those who have believed the gospel and obeyed the gospel, and he says that we do enter into rest. Christians have a rest that we will enter. When we die, we enter into that place of comfort and that place of rest. And he quotes again what God said about these Israelite people in verse 3, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, that is, they will not enter into this place of rest because of their unbelief. And as you read this, you remember how many times he quotes this in this section. And you ask the question, why does the writer keep going over this? Why does he keep quoting these same words? In order to make the point. Sometimes we have to listen to something, we have to hear something repeatedly before it really sinks in. And remember that the readers of this book of Hebrews in the first century were becoming dull of hearing. They had become hard of heart to some extent, and they weren't listening. And so he reminds them again and again about what had happened to their ancestors, and he said, you're on the verge of having the same thing to happen to you. And that is, you're going to fall away from God unless you get a hold of your Christian life. So he says in verse 3 that eventually Christians will enter into their rest, but it's not a done deal. It's something that you have to strive for, and it's a Christian life where you have to endure a lot of temptation and a lot of trials and hardships. In the last part of verse 3, he mentions something that is an illustration of God and his works. He says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What works is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the creation. He's talking about what the Bible mentions in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So these works of God were finished from the foundation, that is, from the beginning of the world. And then what did God do after he created the world in 6 days? What did he do on the seventh? Well, that's what verse 4 is about. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So what is the illustration here? The illustration is that just as God did his works, and then he entered into a time of rest, in the same way we as Christians do our duty here, we perform our responsibilities, we labor here, and then when we die, we enter into our rest. In verse 4, when the Bible talks about God resting on the seventh day, the question comes up, well, does that mean then that the Sabbath day observance is permanent, that it's eternal, that we are to keep the Sabbath day today? And the answer is no. The whole purpose of the book of Hebrews is to show that we are not under the law of Moses. The whole theme of this book is that today we have a better law, the New Testament. We have a better high priest, Jesus Christ, who offered a better sacrifice, that is, his own life. So to say that we are to keep the Sabbath day goes against the whole tenor of this book. We are not any more bound to keep the Sabbath day today than we are bound to offer animal sacrifices. We are not any more obligated to keep the Sabbath day today than we are to go to the tabernacle. Those are Old Testament observances. And again, the whole purpose of this book is to tell these Christians not to go back to that law. So he wouldn't be recommending something or commanding something here in Hebrews chapter 4 that goes against not only the whole book of Hebrews, but the rest of the New Testament as well. And again, in Colossians 2, verses 14 through 17, the Bible plainly specifies that the Sabbath day is one of those Old Testament laws that was nailed to the cross. Now in verse 5, he again quotes what the Bible says in the Old Testament in Psalm 95, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So then he builds on this illustration, not only the illustration of these Old Testament Israelites that failed to make it to the place of rest in Canaan, but the illustration of God working 6 days and then resting on the seventh. He says in verse 6, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein. He's talking about Christians there. What kind of rest is he talking about entering into? Where is that rest? Well, that's the place of rest that we know of as heaven. So that's still something that remains for Christians who are alive. And he reminds them again of what happened to those Israelites, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. He again, in verse 7, takes their minds back to those Old Testament Israelites and this warning. He limits, that is, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Somebody says, well, he says here that he designates or limits a certain day. Well, when he talks about a certain day, he's not talking about a certain 24-hour day. He's not talking about Monday or Tuesday or Saturday. When he uses the word day here, he's talking about a time of rest. And that time of rest, of course, is going to be in eternity for Christian people. That's the idea of Hebrews chapter 4 here in this passage that we're looking at. Now, in verse 8, there's something about the translation here that we need to notice. He says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? The them here refers to those Old Testament Israelites. And he says, if Jesus had given them rest, he wouldn't have talked about another time or place of rest. Well, what we have to remember here is that there was no Greek word that was the exact equivalent for the word Joshua. And so the closest Greek word that was available happened to be the same word that is translated Jesus. And so the word in the King James Version here that is translated Jesus refers to Joshua, because Joshua was the one that led the Israelites into the promised land. So if you have a marginal note, a footnote reference to the word Jesus here that says Joshua, that's why. And if you have another translation that has the name Joshua in there, that is the explanation for it. Now, the point he's making here is this, is that although Joshua led the Israelite people into the promised land, and he led the army to conquer those Canaanite people and gave them the land of promise, that is not the ultimate rest for God's people. Joshua gave them a physical place to have physical rest. But the kind of rest that we're reading about here is, as he says, another day. That means a different time, eternity. So then in verse 9, he says, "There remains therefore a rest to the people of God." That rest for God's people awaits them. It remains, and so Christian people who are alive are going toward that place, and that, of course, is heaven. And in verse 10, he again builds on this illustration, and that is that God worked and then he rested, so Christians labor and then they rest. That's the point of verse 10. "For he that is entered into his rest," that is a child of God that lives his life here on the earth for God, and then he dies, he enters then into his rest. "That man," he says, "has also ceased from his own works as God did from his." There are several verses, I believe, that just provide a great commentary on what we're looking at here. One of them is what Jesus said about his own life in John 9, verse 4. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Another one is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I believe a very strong and a beautiful commentary on these verses is Revelation 14, verse 13. Here the Bible says, "And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And this brings us to the warning and the exhortation in verse 11. "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Notice the wording here. As you go back to chapter 4, verse 1, in the beginning of this chapter, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." And then in verse 11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." The same example is the example of the Israelites who fell. The same cause is unbelief, and the same warning applies to us today.